Puzzled. We're going to be looking at this idea of puzzled over the next 5 weeks. And it's interesting as you go through life and you look at people that there are just some people that seem a lot more puzzled than others. So some people, they just try to not hide it. It's kind of like all over their face. You just kind of see it. They just kind of walk through life puzzled. They're just kind of transparent about it. And then there's other people, they're too proud. They're not willing to let people know that they're puzzled. And so they've got their game face on and they're like, oh, I'm not puzzled. But when they're in an environment and they need to know something, they're not willing to ask a stranger something. They'll turn to who they know and say, hey, will you ask about, because they just don't want to look like they're puzzled and they're confused and they don't know what to do. Well, I think there's a lot of areas in life that can cause us to be puzzled. And we're going, how do I deal with that? How do I handle that? How do I get through that? How do I get unstuck? And so we're going to be looking at a variety of different things over these next 5 weeks. So we're going to be looking at handling stress. That's what we're going to talk about today. Forgiving others is one of those things that we're going to be looking at. Recognizing God's voice is certainly going to be one of those things, because some of us go, how do I know if it's God and if it's not? And we're going to be looking at that so that we don't have to be puzzled when it comes to overcoming fear, that some of us can be crippled by that. And so we're going to be looking at that and how is it we can overcome those fears. And then we're even going to look at the last week, we're going to talk about spiritual warfare. And what is it about that? What is that? And how is it that we can understand that? And what's going on with it? And how do we get a handle and a grip on those things? So that's what we're going to be looking at as we look at this idea of puzzled. And so if you're somebody that you're going, yeah, you know what? I don't know that I'm really puzzled in any of those areas of life. And you're like going, I don't know how I feel about this. Then I think that you need to look at the people that God has put in your life. Because even if you're not puzzled, I guarantee you there's some people that God's put in your life that they are puzzled. And so you might be just needing to tune in, so you can go, hey, how is it that I can help others? That for you, even as we talk about stress today, you might be going, I'm just not stressed, and you just not deal with that. But even if you aren't, chances are there's somebody in your life who is, and that they are stressed out. In fact, some people, the fact that I've just been talking about stress, you've already started to get some hives starting. You're getting all, you know, will you quit saying the word? We don't say that word. That's the S word, you know, because you're like going, I can't handle that. And you get some people, they're like sympathy stressors. You see somebody else stressed out, and you weren't stressed out until you saw them stressed out. Now you're like going, okay, I'm feeling stressed for you. And so we look at that, we see that. So when it comes to this idea of stress, there's some things that I think that we need to look at and understand for how is it that we handle the stress that comes our way. Because when it comes to life, there's a lot of things that we have to balance. We need to be balancing relationships in our life. We need to be balancing time in our life. We need to be balancing responsibilities in our life. There's all these things that we need to be balancing in our life without getting stressed out. There's a few interesting stats when we look at stress to see what is happening with stress. And it's not something that's just limited to here in America. In fact, the World Health Organization, that they have said this when it comes to stress, that stress has become a worldwide epidemic. That it's just, it's everywhere. When you look at the nations, countries, and you see where we're at stressed out-wise, that Japan is the most stressed out nation there is, but we are second here in America to nations full of people that are stressed out. And so as we look at this and see some of the things that's happening with stress, that the American Psychological Association, that they did a survey, and they surveyed men and women, and as they surveyed them, they said on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 meaning that, hey, you know what, I just don't really deal with stress, it's just not something that affects me, 10 is like it's maxed out in my life, I don't know how I can handle anymore. They said, we want you to identify, what was your last month like? What did that look like for you? And so for men, it was 4.9. There was, you know, right there in the middle. And for women, it was 5.3. And I started looking at that and trying to understand why is it that women are more stressed out than men? And the only thing I could think of is that we as men, we kind of ask our wives or our significant others to do some things for us, and that they have to do all these things for us that we're asking. And so I think that we are the contributors to why it is that they tend to be a little bit more stressed than what even we are. That when it comes to the way that we look at our time, that 54% of Americans say that they just don't have enough time to get the things done in their life that they need to get done, and so it adds stress. 44% of Americans say that they have more stress this year than what they had last year. When we look at the illnesses and diseases, we can see that 60% of illnesses and diseases, that they are affected by our stress. And then they get worse because of stress that comes in. And then this was one that just really was just surprised me. And it had to do with workplace stress. And when it comes to workplace stress, that here in America, that $190 trillion is spent on healthcare expenses because of our workplace related stress. That we certainly have a lot of stress. Where does our stress come from? Well, it comes from our workplace, certainly that's one of them. It comes from our relationships or illnesses. It comes from conflicts. It comes from parenting. It might come from your marriage, or maybe you're not married and you go, no, I'm stressed because I'm not married. And so you look at these and go, hey, there's stress that just goes all across the board, that there's money, and because of money there ends up being stress. Maybe it's this new job and you're stressed out. Maybe you're stuck in the old job and that's what's causing you stress. And we can all look and go, we've all got these things that feel like they are stressing us out. But stress doesn't have to be synonymous with the pressures of life. That what if we could get to a place where we could go, yeah, there's these pressures of life that are present, but I'm not stressed out about them. For me, I'm an individual that it takes a lot to stress me out. That there just has to be a lot that becomes heavy and it comes quickly and it just comes in unrelenting ways in order for me to eventually get stressed. So it's not something that I deal with often, but I certainly have dealt with it. And I think that if we were all honest, all of us would say we have dealt with stress. Some of us might say it's been a long time since I can look back and go, what does life look like without stress? That it seems like stress has just become this constant, this norm in my life, and I just have to have it. And so how can we handle stress? So we're going to be looking at several scriptures today. In fact, I think we will be looking at a lot more than usual. And so I want to start with what Jesus had to say about some difficulties, some trials, some hardships that we were going to experience in life. This is found in John chapter 16, verse 33. And Jesus said, I have told you all this so you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. That while we're here, we're going to have many sorrows, many trials. That's what's going to take place. And some of us in the room, we can easily go, you know what, for me, I'm really good about that. I come to church. I'm really good about, I spend some time weekly in my Bible. I get in there and I read some devotionals and I start to grow there. I focus on some Christian music in my life. I volunteer. You're part of the dream team. And all of those things, those are great. But you go, I have all of these in my life and I'm still stressed out. I still have all of the pressures of life that are causing me stress. Well, the purpose of those things, of being in church and being in a community group, reading your Bible, having a devotional time, focusing on some Christian, the purpose of all of those things is to help you deal with some of the pressures of life that can cause stress. You know, I think about where we're at in some of our American families today and the stress that is there. And I think in some of the households here in America right now, they are majorly stressed out about what's going to be happening on Tuesday. That it's election day. And people are stressed out with where we're at politically. And no matter where you land, whichever side you land on, You can be stressed out. And there's some, they're bringing way too much stress into their household over this thing. And you're freaking some of your kids out. And you need to lighten up because, listen, it's all going to be okay. No matter what happens, no matter which way a vote goes, it's all going to be okay because we have a God that's what? He is sovereign. And it's going to be okay. And so let's not let that be one of the factors that's bringing so much stress into our homes. Let me share another passage with you from the book of Psalms. Psalm 34, 19. The righteous person faces many troubles, but the Lord comes to the rescue each time. Now you might be here today and go, I'm not a righteous person. You might be here today and go, I'm not even sure what a righteous person is. I don't even know necessarily what a Christian is. I don't even know what this faith thing's about. I'm just kind of here, and I'm just kind of looking and exploring and trying to figure some of this stuff out. And if that is you, I think that you are in the right place, and you're going to be on a great path to discovery, and we are glad that you are here. And we tell people all the time, listen, this is a place that you can belong without even believing. You don't have to believe what we believe. You don't have to believe what we teach, but you can belong here. You can find relationships here. Now here's the secret. We hope that you'll end up believing what it is we believe and teach. Surprise. We do. We hope that. But we welcome you here whether you do or whether you don't. But for the person that's already convinced of who Christ is, the person who's already bowed the knee of their heart, the person who's saying, I trust Jesus. What we get to see is that the righteous person that faces many troubles, they will. But the Lord comes to their rescue. That God comes to our rescue. And when we make the goal of handling life's pressures, when we make the goal that we're going to go, hey, I just want to minimize stress. When you make that the goal of dealing with the pressures of life, you're just going to increase the stress in your life. That there's a different way to look at these pressures of life and how do we handle them, how do we work through them so that we're not adding to the stress in our life. That we can look inside of God's word, scripture, and begin to see some principles, some direction in life. We can even begin to understand, hey, there's some promises that are out there for us. And so let's look at another psalm in Psalm chapter 62, starting in verse 5. Let all that I am wait quietly before God, for my hope is in him. Now see, when we're stressed, we got a lot of noise just traveling through our mind. And what we need to do is we need to go, hey, we need to find a place of quietness, a place where we can find rest, and we would come to our Heavenly Father, and we would just be quiet before our Heavenly Father. And this is where we go, these are the things I'm stressed about, these are the pressures of life I'm dealing with, and I need to give them to you, and I want to trust that you're going to help get me through these. Verse 6, he alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will not be shaken. That I want to get as close to God as possible so that as these pressures of life tend to come along and do the shaking, that because I'm leaning into him, that I'm not going to be shaken. My victory and honor come from God alone. He is my refuge, a rock where no enemy can reach me. Oh, my people, trust in him at all times. Pour out your heart to him, for God is our refuge. Common people are as worthless as a puff of wind. Anybody feeling common today? He's like, wait, that's not very encouraging. Look at this. Common people are as worthless as a puff of wind, and the powerful are not what they appear to be. If you weigh them on a scale, together they are lighter than a breath of air. Don't make your living by extortion or putting your hope in stealing. And if your wealth increases, don't make it the center of your life. That it might happen and your wealth, but don't make your life about that, because if you do, stress will happen. When we take and we begin to say, I need to get organized and I need to get some management when it comes to the things that are happening in life, that's what helps to eliminate some of the stresses that we end up dealing with. The Apostle Paul, he's writing to Timothy, and Timothy is this young adult, and maybe he was going, I'm not sure about this adulting thing, but he's writing to him and he's wanting to encourage him and to equip him and to grow him. And as he's writing to him, we get a look and see what he had to say in 1 Timothy chapter 6. We're going to start in verse 6. He says, yet true godliness with contentment is itself great wealth. That when we're godly and when we're content, that is something that for us, it brings us great wealth. After all, we brought nothing with us when we came into the world, and we can't take anything with us when we leave. So if we have enough food and clothing, let us be content. And that for some of us, if we could just become content, it could reduce a lot of stress in our life if we could just find contentment. But people who long to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It doesn't say money is the root of all kinds of evil. It's the love of it. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And some people craving money have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. So what I'd like to do today, as we look at this idea of handling stress, I want us to look at some stressless principles. What are some stressless principles? I've got three of them. I have three of them that I want to share with you when it comes to how it is that we can live our lives without stress. That's not going to fit, which could cause some stress, couldn't it? But you know, when stress comes our way, we have to learn how to handle some of those pressures in life that come our way. And when we learn how to handle them, then we can eliminate some of those stresses and make sure that we are enjoying life. And so what I want us to see and to identify are some different ways that we can live so that we have less stress in our life, that the pressure's coming, but we don't have to have the stress. And so that's what I want us to look at and see together. And so here's this first one. And it's live with a sense of purpose and urgency. This is where we need to get started. Is we need to live with a sense of purpose and urgency. And that when we begin to find that, you know what, there's a purpose for us, and when we begin to understand what that purpose is, that should become something that becomes very urgent for us. And we go, hey, that's a priority. That's how we want to make sure that we are living our lives. I want to share with you from the prophet Jeremiah. And Jeremiah, he was known as the weeping prophet. And he was known as the weeping prophet because he just wept for people, because people wouldn't turn their hearts towards God, and it just his heart would break for them, and he was this weeping prophet. And so in Jeremiah 6, verse 16, he says, this is what the Lord says, stop at the crossroads and look around. Ask for the old godly way and walk in it. Travel its path and you will find rest for your souls. But you reply, no, that's not the road we want. That we want a road that's going to be about our desires. And so we end up doing this. And when we pursue this road, instead of the old ways that God says, hey, this is the way, this is the path, that we end up introducing stress into our life. We have to define what our life is all about. Do we have to begin to understand that? We need to define that, because that's where we understand what our purpose is. Because all the decisions that you will make, relational decisions, time decisions, financial decisions, all the decisions that you and I, that we end up making, we make those decisions based on our sense of purpose. And so let's make sure that we understand what our purpose is. Is your purpose to be happy? Because that's what some people are making their life's purpose. My life's purpose is just to be happy. And when that becomes someone's life purpose, they make a lot of destructive choices trying to fulfill the purpose to be happy. Is your purpose to be complete? Is your purpose to know God? Is your purpose to serve others? What is it that you're going to look at with life and go, that's my purpose? Because once we understand what our purpose is, all the decisions that we make regarding our relationships, our money, our time, they get shaped by how we see our purpose. Another psalm, Psalm 90, verse 12. teach us to realize the brevity of life so that we may grow in wisdom. Teach us to recognize just how short and brief life is here on earth. When I was in seminary, I had a professor, and he told the class, he says, I want you to write the number 80 on a piece of paper. And so I wrote the number 80 like the rest of the class. He said, put a line above it. So I did. And then he said, write your age. Mine was 23, so I wrote 23 on there. And he said, that is the fraction of time that you have already used. And so now you can look and see what you have left. Life is short. Well, when I did that exercise, I was like, I got a lot of time left. But today I've got to put the number 51 over that 80. And I look at that and I go, that's not a whole lot of time. I look at that and I think, hey, when he did that exercise with me, I felt like I have a whole lot of time. And as I look back now at age 51, I look back and go, wow, that time has flown by. And when we look back, we get reminded of the brevity of just how short life is. So what are we going to do to maximize the time that we have? How is it that we begin to see what our purpose is, that we begin to discover purpose, the purpose of knowing God? And when you begin to discover your purpose is to know him, what you end up discovering is God isn't the cosmic killjoy, but you end up discovering there are some freedoms that we find, some joy that we find in living for him. And we begin to see and discover this. We begin to understand this as well, that we have a purpose in life. And one of the purposes that we have in life is to make a difference in the life of others because of the life that we have been given. Psalm 39, verses 4 and 5. Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered and how fleeting my life is. You have made my life no longer than the width of my hand. My entire lifetime is just a moment to you. At best, each of us is but a breath. Life is short. It is very short. And it's why we need to live with a sense of purpose and urgency. And when we live with a sense of purpose and we make it about the urgency about the things that has to do with our purpose, it minimizes the stress in our life and it maximizes the purpose and the joy that we find in life. Well, let me share another one with you. And this next one, it's putting first things first. That if we want to live with less stress, we want to find some stressless principles in life, that one of those things is live putting first things first. That's one of the things that we would be about. We're going, hey, I do have some stress in my life. Or I know some people that they have some stress in their life. And what could I offer them? How could I help them? You could help them by understanding live, putting first things first. You know, some of the people that are most stressed out in life, you know what they're stressed out about? The third things, the fifth things, and the eighth things, and the 12th things. They're not stressed out about the first things, the most important, the most primary things in life. And they start putting their effort, their energy, and their attention toward those. And because they are, they don't have the time, effort, and energy or resources to be able to put them into the things that matter most. Putting first things first. Where we go, hey, it's about putting my faith first and my family and my friendships, that we understand the value of relationships. And we put first things first. And there is a peace. And this peace that's offered, it's a limited time offer. And this peace is offered to those who put their faith, their hope, their trust in Jesus while they're here on earth. And there is a peace that is offered to all of us who do this. In our New Testament, in the book of Philippians, in this book of Philippians, you have the Apostle Paul, and he's writing to these people that they're already convinced of who Christ is. Christ has already risen from the dead, and he's writing to them that they are believers, and he's writing to them, and this is what he shares with them. Philippians chapter 4, we'll start in verse 4. But always be full of joy in the Lord. Talk about putting first things first. Always be full of joy in the Lord. And I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. And remember, the Lord is coming soon. And when we look at how short and how brief our time here on earth is, and we compare that to the unmeasurable spans of eternity that never ends. Life is short, and Jesus is coming back, and he is coming soon. So don't worry, verse 6, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. And so when we are about prayer, and when we are asking and requesting of God, let's also make sure that we are thanking him for what he has already done. It's not just for his benefit, so we say, hey, God, really want to let you know we're grateful, but it's a great reminder to us that, yes, God has done several things for us, and that we would do this and we would share this. Verse 7, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. And his peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. The best approach to handling pressures in life is learning to please God and to live for him. And we don't have to stress out trying to do that. Instead, we find joy, purpose, significance, and freedom in doing this. Don't live life just simply seeking to get rid of the stress that is there. But live life in a way that we go, I want to live to please and to know my Heavenly Father. And I'm going to put first things first. I'm going to live with a sense of purpose and urgency. And another stressless principle to live by. I've got one more for us. And this one is live with your heart fixed on heaven, that we would live with our heart fixed on heaven. I don't mind the silence. But this is one more stressless principle for us to look at, to think through, and go, how can I live life when I've got all the pressures of life coming at me? How can I live it without stress? Because stress and pressures of life, it doesn't have to be synonymous. So we would live with our heart fixed on heaven. And when we do this, it minimizes the heartache and the headache of life. When we live with our heart fixed on heaven. I want to share with you something from Acts 16. But let me give you a little bit of the backstory before we read the part that we're going to read. You have the Apostle Paul and you have Silas, and these two guys, that they are on tour and they are going around and they are sharing the hope and the message of the resurrected Jesus, the resurrected Christ, with others. And they're going around and they're doing this, and they've been given this power and authority, and they've been doing miracles in the name of Jesus. And so they get to this place. And as they get to this place, they see that there's a girl, and she's possessed by a spirit, by an evil spirit. But yet this evil spirit is allowing her to prophesy and speak about things that are going to happen in the future. And so she has been purchased by some men. That she is owned by some men. And they are using that to make themselves buku loads of money. And they look at her and they see her and they see what's taking place with her being possessed. And so they just speak up in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And they free her and they cast that spirit out of her. And instead of her owners being really excited about her being set free, they are angry because you just took away their cash machine. all the ways that they were making money. And so they went and sought some authorities, and they end up getting Paul and Silas arrested. And so this is where we're going to pick this up, is where they are arrested. Verse 22, a mob quickly formed against Paul and Silas, and the city officials ordered them stripped and beaten with wooden rods. They were severely beaten, and then they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was ordered to make sure that they didn't escape. So the jailer put them into the inner dungeon and clamped their feet in the stocks. It's dark. It's dirty. The smell is atrocious. They are locked up. There is no light. And that's describing where they are found now. And with that description, look at what takes place next. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying. We get that, right? They were praying. Because like, okay, God, I'm here, and I'm here because I was doing something for you, and now I'm stuck here, so you need to come to my rescue. We get the fact that they were praying, but they were doing something else. At midnight, at around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Wait a second. They were praising God, even though the reason that they are in jail and prison in this dungeon is because they said something, they did something in the name of God, in the name of Jesus. It says, and the other prisoners were listening. The other, they're like tuned in. They're like going, hey, wait a second. You're here because of what you did for God. And now that you're here, you're still praying to him and you are actually singing praises to him. And they were baffled by that. How is it that you could be about doing this? And it's because they fixed their hearts on heaven. And so it didn't matter what they were going through in this moment. Verse 26, it says, suddenly there was a massive earthquake and the prison was shaken to its foundation. All the doors immediately flew open and the chains of every prisoner fell off. To which you would think, that's God setting them free, that now you can just get out and you can just leave. And you can just go. It says the jailer woke up to see the prison doors wide open. And he assumed the prisoners had escaped. So he drew his sword to kill himself. The jailer was stressed. It's like, man, I wish he could be here for this talk right now. I could really help him out. So he's stressed and he's going, hey, I've got to take my life because I can't handle what they're going to do to me when they find out all these people, these prisoners, they escaped. But Paul shouted to him, stop! Don't kill yourself! We are all here! Which is baffling to the prison guard. Well, why would you still be here? The doors are open. Nobody's in shackles anymore. You guys are free. And he stops him from taking his own life. It says the jailer called for lights and he ran to the dungeon and he fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and he asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? So you guys have talked about this. We've heard about some of this. You guys have experienced something that is real and your God has provided for you. What do I have to do to get some of that? Because what I see in you is something that I know that I desperately need. Because what I see in you is I see in you something different than what I see in myself and what I see in others. And the reason he saw something different is because he saw these two guys that they lived with their heart fixed on heaven, and that the choices that they were making had to do with all of eternity. And that stressed jailer wanted the peace and the purpose that he saw in those two guys. So I want to leave you with something. I'm going to leave you with a thought, and a thought that I believe could transform the way that you deal with the pressures of life. A thought that could transform the way that you would go about living your life so that you aren't stressed out and instead you find joy and peace and purpose no matter what the circumstances of life are. And this is that thought. Lower your expectation of what this world can do for you. That for a lot of us, it's like, well, wait a second, I'm trying to do all that I can to get as much out of this world that I can possibly get. Lower your expectation of what this world can do for you. And then there's something else that we need to do and be about. And increase your expectations of what life in heaven will be like. That we would lower our expectations of what this world has to offer us. And that we would increase our expectations of what life in heaven will be like. This is what it means to live with your heart fixed on heaven. And so if we want to live with less stress, some stress-less principles, then let's adopt that we would live a life with a sense of purpose and urgency, that we'd know, hey, I've only got so much time. Life is short. How do I live out this purpose during this time? That we would do that. That we would live putting first things first. That we would live with our heart fixed on heaven. And when we accomplish this, this is what allows us to lower our expectations of what this world has to offer us. And it allows us to increase our expectations of what life will be like in heaven. Pray with me. God, we need reminders like these. Because there's things in life that we allow to rise to the surface, and when it comes to the surface, we begin to treat it like it's a priority. And we don't necessarily keep first things first when that happens. So I pray that you would really help us to identify that we have a purpose that's found in you, and that life is short, we'd live it with urgency. God, that we would be people, that we would put these first things first, and we would fix our heart on heaven. Thank you for giving us an understanding that there is a place that we are going to be welcomed into because of a relationship we have with you. And it is going to be a place of no more sorrow, and it will be a place of no more stress. So help us to live stress-free here so we can get a taste of what heaven, eternity will be like for those of us that put our hope and our trust in you. Jesus, it's in your name we pray. Amen.